Welcome to EDUCAUSE Now. I'm Jerry Bain. On this edition of EDUCAUSE Now, we'll discuss what it takes to become a leader in higher ed IT, and we'll also speak with Beth Schaefer from the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee about implementing the ITIL framework at their organization. If you'd like to find out more about the interviews and stories you hear on the podcast, visit our show notes at www.educause.edu/now. And if you'd like to listen to our podcast directly from your mobile device, you can visit educause.edu/mobile.
I define leadership as the ability to influence a group to work together towards a common goal. And you pretty much need to do that in every job you have at some point.
Successful IT leaders must have the talents, qualities, perspectives, and political skills to support their departmental and institutional goals. They must also be aware of the trends in IT and the implications for higher education. And being a leader is more about those skills than about the title in front of your name. I interviewed a panel at the NERCOMP 2010 conference who presented a session titled, "So, You Want to Be a Leader?" and asked them to share their thoughts on developing oneself as a leader in higher ed IT. Our discussion includes Janet Hill, Associate Director for Teaching Technology at Brandeis University, Eric Bird, Associate Vice President for Technology and CIO at the Massachusetts College of Art and Design, and Tracy Lager Hornby, Dean of Library Services at Worcester Polytechnic Institute.
Leadership is more of a perception or a set of responsibilities than it is necessarily a title or a job. Taking opportunities or being the person who pulls the group together, whatever your official title is, your job is being a leader, and people get a lot of satisfaction out of leadership roles.
Some of the questions that you can ask yourself, start with knowing where you are, what you want to do, and learning about the environment in which you work. So understanding the academy, understanding your role in the academy, and learning a little bit about how you fit in. And you don't necessarily fit in all the time. And so if you realize that, you can try something different.
The best way to become a leader is to really get yourself out of your own little cubicle, your world, and look at the broader, you know, lift your head, look at the broader world. What's going on, both in your institution and outside? And I think that's a really critical skill to develop over time.
So if you are reading the Chronicle of Higher Education and you see that there's some new legislation coming in about reporting your research findings or the Higher Education Act, and those things are going to have an impact on what you do and how your services are delivered or things that you have to do because there are new regulations, you can start thinking about what that means. Or if it's not directly going to affect what you do, then others in your organization are going to have to work on that, and you're going to have to support them as they address those issues. So it's an awareness thing. It's an understanding of how you fit into the larger scope and watching what's on the horizon. What's new? What is happening? How can I, as much as possible, get ready for that? Because things are always going to change, and you need to get as much ammunition to deal with it as you can.
I think, you know, there's a variety of ways to look at skill sets. One of the most important things is to understand who you are and what your interests are and what skills you already have. You know, do something like take the Myers-Briggs inventory so that, you know, to have a sense of what works for you. What's your general way of operating? Because a lot of leadership is really building relationships and communicating. And so knowing what your strengths are, and knowing that there are differences and that other people may have strengths in different areas and may just think of things in different ways than you do is an important way to, you know, to appreciate that is an important way to develop as a leader, I think.
I think the building relationship is a skill that you can learn. It does come more naturally to some folks, but it is a skill I think you can teach yourself to get better at by getting to know your peers and getting out on your campus, volunteer for university committee. I think everybody should find a mentor and look in unconventional places. It doesn't have to be a boss. I think you'd be surprised at the kinds of relationships you can build outside of your field even. Maybe they'll be in higher education, but they wouldn't be in the library or an IT professional. Take a class, preferably at your institution, although you have to be careful about your role in a class because you're no longer an administrator. You're then a consumer of sorts, a client of sorts. But take a class, get out there, be a student. We're in that field. So understand who our patrons, our clients, our customers are and what they're looking for.
A lot of what I'm hearing you say is about creating relationships. What do you say to people who are introverts?
I think there's a lot that people can do in different ways other than speaking up. If you're a person who thinks about problem solving and also might be good with data, you can be the one gathering stuff behind the scenes.
You can be somebody who prefers to sit in front of a computer, you're uncomfortable in social situations, and still be a really valuable leader. What we all do for a living is, you know, information resources of some form or another. We manage information resources, and it's a lot about collecting information and organizing it in the right way and making it available. And so we spend a lot of time talking about things like wikis and blogs and websites and so on and so forth. You know, if you're the person who has the authoritative wiki on such and such a topic, you're going to be known for having that leadership role. Oh, so-and-so managed that. And you can maintain the authoritative wiki and pretty much never talk to anybody if you don't want to. I mean, that's and still be and play an important leadership role within an organization.
Everyone can be a leader, and you don't have to be in a position with a grand title to be a leader, that you can lead from the side, you can help your peers, and you can make a difference, which is what most people are trying to do in their work lives.
Eric Bird, Janet Hill, and Tracy Lager Hornby.
In the realm of higher education information technology, no other event brings together more powerful, creative minds in the field than the EDUCAUSE annual conference. Network with peers who share similar interests and concerns. Explore 7 tracks, more than 250 sessions, and over 200 exhibitors. Refresh and renew by learning from nearly 500 forward-thinking, inspirational speakers. For your team members who are unable to attend the conference in person, we're offering a concurrent online conference. You'll experience some of the same great speakers and content and get to host the event on your campus. The EDUCAUSE 2010 Annual Conference in Anaheim, California, October 12th through the 15th.
To mature as an organization, the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee considered several method and process improvement frameworks and chose ITIL, the Information Technology Infrastructure Library, for its best practices for IT services management. I spoke with Beth Schaefer, Acting Director of Client Services for UW-Milwaukee, about their implementation of the ITIL framework.
What were some of the lessons you've learned that you might be able to share with other institutions that are just on the cusp of implementing ITIL?
I think one of the things that we started off with was introducing the staff to the concepts, but not making it be so overwhelming in that there were bite-sized pieces of the terminology and of what each of the life cycles were. So what it really helped us to do was talk with our staff and let them know what the benefits of ITIL would be to their jobs. And when they understood that, we were able to plan much better with the staff moving forward. So when we had the staff understanding, you know, this would work for them, we had a much greater buy-in. One of the things is we did want to manage the amount of change that was going to be happening in the organization, too. And we wanted to get people oriented to the terminology and sort of parse things out so that they wouldn't be overcommitted to anything that they were already doing with their jobs that were overcommitted. You know, the lessons learned is we did want to start off with just a few goals. We didn't want to start off by saying everyone was going to be certified. We were looking for some real leaders in the organization. We had training sessions with these staff that were identified, and we had feedback sessions with them. It's really important that you listen to the staff and what they want, because what we discovered is we didn't want this to be a top-down mandate. We wanted this to be everyone in the organization would have equal say and equal work in this, because if we were going to make something like a service portfolio work, we would have to have everyone understand the process from the beginning.
Well, when you look to the future, what are your next moves?
Our future next moves will be looking at developing the service portfolio out more fully. We've only identified a few of our services and we'll be continuing to fill in the blanks on those. We're also working with some of our staff to create client-side-facing service catalog. So we'll have a service portfolio that's our internal resource, and we'll have the service catalog, which will be the external-facing. So we're working on that next phase of the project. We're looking at developing some in-house training for our staff. We're looking at having some more champions identified within the organization to develop more of the culture and to help us move through the rest of the process and see where we can bring in more of the ITIL ideology into the organization. We've also talked with our campus IT staff about this, and what we're looking for is to not only identify what our IT services are in the our organization, but to work with the rest of the campus, like the HRs, like the enrollment services, because they also have services that they're offering that include IT, and to see how we can integrate what their services are along with ours in this service portfolio.
It must be really hard to change the entire culture of an IT organization.
It can be daunting if you let it. Yeah, it really can. You know, if you're looking at the life cycle, and if you look at, you know, there's five stages in the life cycle, and you're looking at which one of these things should we do, you know, it's just easier to just take it simple, just step by step. You don't have to implement everything at once.
Beth Schaefer, Acting Director of Client Services at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. That's it for this edition of EDUCAUSE Now. You can find our podcasts on your mobile device by visiting educause.edu/mobile. And if you have any questions or story ideas you'd like to share, get in touch with me at podcast@educause.edu. Thanks for listening.